This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese consumer connection where we look at books related to marketing in China.
The book I'm looking at today is titled Food in Chinese Culture, Anthropological and Historical Perspectives, and it's edited by K.C. Chang. Now, you might have a hard time finding this book on Amazon or at your local bookstore, but you will certainly find it at any university library, and anyone who's a China hand, who's even has a slight passing with China studies, would have seen this book, very well known. It's an edited edition, which means it's a series of basically chapters written by different people put together into a single book. Now, researchers are familiar with this. If you're not a researcher, this may put you off a little bit because it doesn't have one thread going through it usually. But this book is unique that way. It really does have a thread, and I'm going to introduce what that is in a moment. The book was published by Yale University in 1977. And of course, as I say, the editor is K.C. Chang. Now, the copy I have was reissued in 1997, and this was specifically for SMC Books, Southern Material in Taiwan, which is a great place to get cultural, sociological, anthropological books, SMC Publishing in Taipei, and I'm going to give you their website because it's a great resource. It's www.smcbook.com.tw. And the reason this book company is so great is they get a lot of books just like this, academic books, and they're able to get, I assume, really great prices on the reprint rights for Taiwan. And you can get some really great books at astronomically low prices. Maybe I'm jaded because in the U.S. the prices are also high, but these guys really get good prices. And that makes it easy for me. My bookshelves are full of these, and everyone I know who's a serious China researcher, whenever I walk into their office or their homes, they're full of books from SMC. So a really great resource. Well, let's just jump right into this book. Now, the first issue I want to overcome is this idea of the book was put together, published in 1977, and I'm afraid that's going to scare some people off. I have that tendency. I'm introducing some old books, but this is such a classic. You really cannot go on in your China research without this. Now, you may ask, hey, Warden, what's the deal on this? Food in Chinese Culture, 1977, what the heck? What do I need that for? Well, if you're a marketer and you're at all interested in understanding the Chinese culture and the culture of consumption, then why not go right to the source of consumption, which is daily food consumption? And this is really recognized in this book as being a key behavior that influences many other behaviors. I mean, how do you get together to buy things? And then when you buy things, how do you distribute them into the home? Who takes care of the cooking? And then what are the things you cook? And then who are the people you invite over? And then what are the special situations where you eat certain types of food at certain times and other types at other times? So I think you really can't get away from that. And I want to just read a line from the book. It's in the introduction by K.C. Chang, and this name will ring a bell for everyone. Page 13 has a line that I think he puts it very clearly, and I agree with 100%, and this is why you need to read this book. This brings us back to the observation that the Chinese are probably among the peoples of the world most preoccupied with eating. Period. End of quote. That's it. That sentence is so totally true. You can't deny it. There's no one who's been to China, even if you're visiting. If you visited, you know. this is true. I've talked to so many people that visit China, visit Taiwan, visit Hong Kong, and they go back, and what's the first thing they say? You know, how did it go? What happened? And basically the answer is, well, let me see. We ate, and then we ate some more. And then after that, they stuffed me full to eat some more. There's just no way to get around it. Business is done around eating. Social activity is done around eating. For me, as an academic, I go to many, many dinners. Business people go to many dinners. Dinners surround almost every type of activity that you can imagine. And of course, this is probably true among many cultures. It's a kind of human behavior. Food is certainly central to every culture. It's central to human beings. But for the Chinese culture, it's really taken to a certain kind of height, a certain kind of nuance. And you really can learn a lot by just understanding that, the amount of information you can get from that. And this book really helps us get down to what are the core points there. But the book's arranged in a very peculiar way. It doesn't dive in and say, hey, here's the main points of Chinese consumption around food. Nope. It's surrounded by temporal issues. How does he do that? It's a very interesting organization. The book basically begins at the beginning of the dynasties, and then successive dynasties get their own treatment. So chapter one is simply called Ancient China, and that's covered by K.C. Chang himself. Chapter two is Han, so the Han dynasty time. Ying Shi Yu is the author. And then chapter three is the Tang dynasty, and the author is Edward H. Schaefer. Chapter four is Song dynasty, and that's Michael Freeman. Chapter 5 is Yan and Ming dynasties, Frederick W. Mote. 6 is Qing, and of course if it's Qing, then who do you think the author would be? Jonathan Spence. And chapter 7 and 8 deal with modern China, 7 North and 8 South, and they are covered by Vera Hsu and Francis Hsu, and 8 by E.N. Anderson and Maria L. Anderson. Now, out of all of these chapters, the one that I think is least applicable probably is 7 and 8, the modern China one, because clearly this was done during the communist time, not even towards the end of the communist time, but kind of mid-70s. This would certainly be a little bit post-Cultural Revolution, but not very far. So those are the ones that really interested me the least. And the ones that interested me the most were dealing with the Tang, Song, Yan, and Ming dynasties, because I really can look in there and find a flavor of social behavior, of consumption, of buying. And then I can go out into the street market and go out into the wet market, and I can see those exact same things happening. I can sit down to dinners I'm invited to, or dinners that I invite others to, and see the exact same things. And that's what rings my bell for this book. And I think you as a marketer, researcher, although it's easy to dismiss, you cannot get away from that history, and you really don't see changes or big deviations, only in the details of, you know, where you go to eat, or maybe how you get there. You drive by car instead of by a horse or by foot. Let me jump into a couple pieces in the book to give you a better flavor of this, and maybe to try to convince you of my perspective, because I don't think it's an easy thing to be convinced of until you dive into it. In the Ancient China chapter, Chang does a great job of talking about, for example, alcoholic beverages. And he talks about what are the different classifications of alcoholic beverages. And this is certainly an obsession with consumption in modern China, in Taiwan and Hong Kong. I myself am a professor, I'm an academic, and you would think, well, if there's anyone who can be more removed from, you know, heavy drinking, going out to these big parties, they're not parties, they're called dinners, it would be an academic like you, especially a foreigner. Contraire, my friend, contraire. I'm always dragged out to dinners, not for my intellectual prowess, but for an expectation of drinking prowess. And at one school I was at, one university, the president would personally invite me to go out to dinners they were giving, because he liked to enter into drinking contests with me. And we are not talking low-class people. We're not talking people who are uneducated. We're talking PhD, people who run universities, people who dress well, look good, have very good manners. This is not a class thing. This is not an issue of someone being out of touch or being out of place. This is totally mainstream. Finally, I did do a good job, just to follow up, let you know. We're going to have a podcast on that social eat, drink, and be merry kind of thing. Actually, eat, drink, and do business. I'm going to do a podcast specifically on that and let you see myself getting smashed one time and how difficult a challenge it is. I usually did well in the cases I just spoke about, but later I did find a professor at another university, actually a much even better university, higher ranked university, who always sought me out to go to his special dinners and to be an interlocutor between him and his guest. And man, that guy would put me under the table multiple times. Talk about that later. Doesn't make my wife very happy, but it does help my social connections, no doubt about that. Back to the book. So as I jump through here in the book, I just want to make a couple points. In the chapter on Song Dynasty by Michael Freeman, I have a couple marks in my book. My book is very dog-eared. I've used it so long and so many times to find references to the papers I'm working on. There's a great chapter, and in this chapter, he introduces such things as noodle shops, specialty food shops, and small vendors who are mobile. And if you took a look at our Chinese New Year show when we went down to Yizhongjie, this is exactly what we saw. This hasn't changed at all. Street vendors are covered in this book on page 162 by Michael Freeman, where he talks about the dumpling vendors and the different types of vendors. And this is exactly what we can see today, not just during New Year's, but just every day. But in our show on Yizhongjie, it's exactly like that. In another chapter on the Yan and Ming dynasties by Frederick Mote, a really great coverage of food as medicine. And this is a key point, a really vital kind of point, that if you don't get this, then you really don't understand how Chinese view food. That kind of what you eat is what you are. You are what you eat. Chinese culture takes this all the way to the max, and they totally believe in this. And this has to do with some of my other research about traditional medicine and how that has not gone away at all. If anything, it's grown stronger. You know, in Taiwan, the traditional medicine is part of the national health system. You can use your national health insurance just at an acupuncture, at a herbal medicine, at any place. So these concepts are deeply held and believed, and food plays a vital role in them. There is not a single time that I don't eat with someone, either my family or out at a dinner, and they will say, hey, this dish is good for your something. This is good for your gallbladder. This is good for your digestion. This is good for your, well, the big one, of course, is sexual prowess or something like Viagra kind of effect, right? There's always a bunch of stuff for that, and every dinner comes with at least one of those. They don't seem to do too much for me. But anyway, the point is balance. It's all about balance, all about keeping the body balanced. And of course, this is not a uniquely Chinese concept. This is a very clear, we can find this as a Greek idea also, ancient Greeks. That's not really the point. The point is, how is it done in Chinese culture? And if you get your hands on this book, you're going to get a really good insight to that. So I'm going to just wrap it up there. I don't want to, if I start looking at this book, I just can't stop myself. I just reread it and look at it and get into all those details. If you're doing research, food in Chinese culture, great, great book. I don't care what kind of research you're working on, anything related with consumption, you can get your hands on this book and find some examples from previous dynasties going back hundreds, if not thousands of years, that have a similarity to what your field observations show now. If you're not doing research, but rather you just want to have some casual reading, learn more about Chinese culture, food is super important. So get that book and you'll catch right up. Even though it's not about today, that doesn't matter. Nothing's changed. And if you're a practicing marketer, get this book because you can see how food can be fit into your marketing mix, or how it can be complementary to your marketing mix, or God help you, you've done something wrong and the thing you're offering, maybe even food, just doesn't fit. So take that any way you want. I just highly recommend it for practitioners, researchers, and casual readings or casual study of Chinese culture. Just before I go, then, I'd like to just drop in a little bit here. Dr. Pepper, you know, is not a soda you can find in Taiwan. In fact, it's not unusual to go online and find foreigners blogging, or maybe even some Chinese that were overseas Chinese come back to Taiwan and they're looking for their Dr. Pepper. Not an easy thing to find. In the early 90s, Dr. Pepper did come to Taiwan. It was imported. It was sold at a few stores. I even found it out in the countryside a few places. So there was a massive effort in the distribution channel. The thing with Dr. Pepper is it has that unique Dr. Pepper taste. I'm not quite sure what you call that taste, but that kind of bitter taste. Now, by coincidence, that exact taste is just what much Chinese herbal medicine tastes like. And so everyone who has grown up in Taiwan has that taste in their mind. And of course, medicine is something nobody likes to take willingly. They were forced to when they were children. They didn't like it. And then when they taste Dr. Pepper, they feel like spitting it right out because it reminds them of that medicine. It's a negative kind of taste. So there's a good example. Without that context, without knowing that, you just, you know, it's a major screw-up, and I'd really like to find out. If anybody knows, please email me some more about Dr. Pepper's export attempts at marketing in Taiwan. Complete failure. It didn't last more than a few months, and you can't find it anywhere now, although that was a long time ago. They clearly haven't tried again. I really wonder when they make that decision, you know, when they have a group of people sitting around the table saying, hey, let's get this into our Taiwan market, is there anybody there who's Chinese? Is there anybody there who's tasted herbal medicine before? Is there anybody there has any conceptualization of how this fits in? And on a wider perspective, of course, Coke is the dominant soda player, with the local sodas, of course, doing very well too. But you won't find them being consumed at most dinners. You won't find those things being consumed, certainly, when you're having guests at special dinners. So while you can go shopping and you see the shelves at the supermarket are packed with Coke, the actual consumption size of this per person is, I believe, quite small. You rarely, rarely see it. And you cannot drink it anywhere without being told you're doing something wrong or you're drinking something wrong. I cannot go to a meeting or sit down, even in front of my students, without someone saying, oh, you like Coke? Well, did you know Coke is blah, blah, blah? You know, you get all of the urban myths come right up right away. But for Chinese, they're not urban myths. It's much more about it's not going to balance your system. It doesn't fit in anywhere. Now, if you walk around with a cup of tea, cold tea is marginal, warm tea is standard, hot tea is even better. You walk around with that all day, all the time, nobody mentions anything. And I'm a big tea drinker, so I can drink, I'll take tea, a cup of tea to my classes, I'll take tea to meetings, but I take a Diet Coke can once and forever. I'm labeled, and people will ask me, oh, Warden, you really like that Coke, don't you? You know, don't you know that's not good for you? And in fact, my father-in-law has ragged on me for over 25 years. And about 5-6 years ago, I did switch over to tea, gave it up. At least when I'm around him, it makes him much more happier. And do I feel better? I'm not sure, but I certainly fit in better. No doubt about that. So, before I go, got to get this book if you are at all serious. Food and Chinese Culture. Thanks.
This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese consumer connection where we look at books related to marketing in China.